Today is Monday, May 20th, and you're listening to The Job. Music. This is The Job, a talk show about design, music, business, culture, and Portland. I'm your host, Ray, and our guest this episode, episode number 14, is Mike Squires. First, let's talk to Candace. Hi.
Hi, Ray.
How are things?
Fabulous. I was just thinking about when Mike came in for his interview with you.
Yeah.
How he... He looks so rock and roll.
He does.
He rolled in
on the Harley and everything.
Rolled in on the Harley. And it just made our little matching people scooters look so...
Luckily, our scooters weren't here.
I know, but now when I look at them, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
They are not little, rock and roll.
They're basically lawnmowers on wheels is what they are. The engine, you know.
Yeah. Like, you don't take those up and down the highway on a road trip with the wind in your hair. They can't even go on the highway, you know?
No.
No. So, I would like to propose that we let go of the scooters mm-hmm. and get Harleys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I sure.
And what were the motorcycles that we saw on the freeway?
They were like Audi or BMW, or, you know.
Those were the motorcycles that made people coin the phrase crotch rocket.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
They were
awful.
No, you don't call a Harley a crotch rocket.
No.
A crotch bomb.
I would want my own Harley, though. I wouldn't want to ride on yours.
Oh, yeah, no. Right. I agree.
Okay, then it's settled.
Yeah, I would love to.
Next week,
the kids Harleys. Can ride on back. Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I wonder if you can get the little seats for kids on. No, I don't think you can.
That'd
actually,
just be weird.
I just had this moment where I was. I spent a lot of time riding on the back of Harleys when I was a kid, and I remember a lot of burned legs. Many burned legs.
Yeah. It's true. So we went to a great art show.
We went to yesterday. A Trish Grantham's show at Division Stumptown.
That was yesterday, right?
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. It's
yeah.
kind of a blur, but that was very exciting. Our four-year-old has her first art crush.
Yeah, she's like her biggest fan.
Yeah. She went through the house and we found all of the kind of smaller pieces of Trish's that we have collected over the years. I mean, I've known Trish for 10 years, I want to say. A long time. Longer than I've known you. So, got a lot of little artist friend pieces for like birthdays over the years and things like that. And so we collected a few of them and Zoe put them in her room at eye level and...
Aww.
And visits them. And
oh, cute.
Yeah. It's pretty cute to see a person discover artists, and kind of get a sense of what their aesthetic is.
Speaking of discovering art, you discovered a show called House of Cards.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been doing a lot of more original programming.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the reason we have Netflix again is because of the... I mean, it'll be out within days from when you, the listener, hear this, but the Arrested Development season.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and I think that they're... Knowing that viewers of Netflix tend to be binge viewers...
Oh, they have it down now.
They've just released the seasons all in, like, one day, basically. Just, like, boom,
yeah.
There's a...
It's so out. House of Cards is Kevin Spacey.
It's a Kevin Spacey vehicle.
Executive director, I believe, but also the lead actor.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they Netflix has figured out how to enable the binge watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember maybe just like 6 months ago, you would watch a video on Netflix and it would stop playing when it was done. And you would go to a screen where you could like choose to go on or not. But now what it does is It basically, as the credits are rolling, you see something that says, like, skip to the next video. And if you don't do that within, I want to say, like, 10 seconds or less, it just starts the next episode. And so it's just not enough time to decide that you're done. Like, I just found myself sort of, oh, it's over. Wow, it's starting. This is really interesting. And I ended up watching 3 episodes in a row. Yeah. They're only like 45 minutes, so it's not, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like watching a movie. I mean, you just kind of, you just have to, yeah. I mean, I watch Linda because I'm watching really nerdy stuff in my spare time. Yeah. But they've added that too. Like, if you don't stop it, it continues to play. I mean, that's a new feature that Netflix added for folks like you. But, you know, like, Linda even added a thing where you can queue up the things that you want, the tutorials you want to watch, which is really nice. You might be able to do that with Netflix. I don't know. But you can kind of have a playlist.
It seems like the way Netflix is doing it, it more enables, like, I tell myself I'm sitting down for one episode.
The little lies we tell ourselves.
45 minutes,
huh?
And the next thing I know, it's, Friday night, 2 in the morning, and I should really go to sleep.
I can't help but be reminded of that Portlandia where they're watching Battlestar Galactica, is it? And they end up, like, losing their job and everything.
I feel like I could come close to being that person. It was really hard for me to stop watching it at some point. And then the opposite of that is that I watch Game of Thrones with some friends.
Yeah.
And that experience is so different. So we don't have HBO at our house.
Mm-hmm.
So watching Game of Thrones means going to a friend's house every Sunday night and sitting down with a group and watching it. And it is such great fun to watch it with a group. And there's, like, a starting time and an ending time, and everyone's, like, yelling at the TV and talking. And it's not even, like, I doubt it saves us that much because, you know, going over to the friend's house means I am always bringing over a bottle of wine. But it's a completely different experience. It's like a hangout.
Yeah.
But that is every Sunday night.
Did you just make the argument that we should have HBO to save on gas?
Wine,
okay.
But no.
That's a very well-made argument. I saw
I would not want to sit and drink that bottle of wine by myself and watch Game of Thrones. That would make it
You'd have to drink it out of like a cow bladder or something for
Here's
real authentic
the thing.
Experience.
There is a lady that goes to this Game of Thrones night that is like a genius at making desserts.
Uh-huh.
And she brings dessert every night. And she started, not every time, but like every other time, and she started posting on the invite, like right before, what dessert she's bringing. And so last night when I saw what she was bringing, I tried to bring a wine pairing.
Oh, man.
But she posted like, 15 minutes before I leave, which means I need to have a variety of wines. But I thought maybe I could try to do that each week and it would be kind of fun. So last night it was this lemon poppy seed pound cake with strawberries and raspberries that had been soaked in a rosé and then a lavender infused.
What the hell?
It was like amazing. Who just makes this for Game of Thrones night?
Whatever happened to that fudge that we got yesterday? Is that still in that baby bag?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Did you leave it behind?
Did you imagine for a moment the dessert that I described?
No, I won't let myself. I'm refusing to. I'm trying to change the subject to that fudge that I bought.
It exists somewhere. It exists. It will be served to you at some point this evening.
Okay, because I tried to find it last night to make up for the fact that I was at home with the baby while you were at Game of Thrones, but I couldn't find it. I was so pissed.
To make up for it.
Yeah, I was going to just binge on fudge.
Yeah. But you made it through.
Yeah, no, I probably couldn't have made it. Have a free arm the whole night.
It was awfully sweet to show up from that. Like Game of Thrones, it's a little intense. It's got some violence in there, I read the books. The books are the same. I think HBO is actually sticking to the books really well. They're not like making it more violent. In fact,
just the right amount of TNA.
Yeah. Right.
No more, no less. Be judicious there. You don't want to.
So I, showing up at home and seeing you with like a baby and like rocking a baby and watching Linda on the big screen was like, oh my god.
Such a nerd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get Netflix, I get Lynda.com.
Sure.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Our guest today on the show is Mike Squires, lead guitarist of Duff McKagan's Loaded, and veteran of more bands than you can shake a stick at. He's also funny as shit. Let's talk to Mike. So just let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm so
oh, yeah.
I'm just like,
are you tweeting?
Oh, so, yeah, I took a picture of you.
Oh,
yeah.
No shit.
Are you going to do the thing before, like, hi?
Yeah, but that's, I don't want to make you sit through that.
Post pro.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll do that in post. I can see that I'm going to have to, you're going to be a little hot on the mic. That's cool. I think we're ready.
I'm going to back off.
No.
Jumping to back off.
No, man.
Am I overpowering?
No, you're cool. You're cool. Are you comfy? Do you want to get that out of your face there?
You know, I do what I want.
You're kind of like this.
Well,
I do what I
want. That's how I maintain my air of mystery.
The recording studio. I've got to have my eyes covered, guys.
You guys, seriously. Nobody looks Squires in the eye.
He's crazy.
What? We can't.
I call you Strawberry.
Wind up with a raspberry. I'm gonna hold you down, Ray.
That's cute.
Are those called raspberries?
They are. They are. Now that I have a kid, I'm like an expert.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you are.
I have like a half dozen before work. You know,
I think it would be the only reason I would want to have a kid.
Right. It's like they never say no. They just smile. You know, like what adult's gonna smile at that? You know,
right. I'd like to give like Zach Wilde or Ted Nugent a raspberry.
Ted Nugent for sure, yeah.
And I'd want to have like the Purell on hand to like disinfect my face immediately afterwards. But I bet they would react well. And just to see them giggle, that would be nice, you know.
Yeah, I would. You know, like I feel like, you know, the Ted Nugent giggling would be like seeing a child's first laugh. You know, just be a real special moment.
Just like seeing a child, it'd be the same as seeing a child's first duty. Oh, look how cute it is. It's like black.
Oh, but he's not holding a gun. He's cute.
this is no joke. So,
are you going to give me a Ted Nugent story?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's not that good.
Well,
Don't
don't lead with that. Just tell me the story.
Don't let me shoot it down.
Oh, that's nice. So I like how you did that.
I'm a gun owner.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I like guns.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, I'm not like a...
You're no Ted Nugent.
I am certainly no Ted Nugent. I mean, I went in, it's pretty difficult to find ammo right now.
Yeah.
And if you want to sell a gun, you can get a lot of money for it right now. Cause you know, everything's sort of like potentially in transition.
Sure.
Probably not. Doesn't really seem like it's going to,
probably the price of gold is up too.
Indeed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, the end is coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, brace yourselves, get guns and gold. Everyone, rush on down to Bob's
Guns gold and Gold.
And get your stuff while you can before the...
There's like one, like two blocks from here.
Before
in 80
the
seconds.
Shit tsunami come and splatters your face. And then you'll be sorry. Then what? Then you've got two cans of soup and a thing of SpaghettiOs.
That's right. And no way to... So what's your story?
Yeah, so I go to Cabela's. This is like Cabela's is like it's like a place. It's amazing, right? It's
okay.
This amazing place. It's like the Walmart of outdoor and guns.
Okay,
and you know it's like a big package store.
Is this like a Seattle thing?
No, it's everywhere. I bless you. I passed one on the way here. I bet they're here.
Okay.
I know that they have them in Idaho.
Okay.
You know, you can get camping gear there and compound bows and this and that. So because it's so difficult to find rounds, like, and I like to target shoot, right?
Sure.
I don't know why I feel like I need to, like, tell you why I enjoy to shoot.
Cool, it's cool.
Or why I have guns. But I'm a veteran, and so I learned how to shoot when I was in service.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a really calming experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to focus and you breathe, you know, and it's kind of like really, it's like violent yoga. And okay. So, so I went to, every week I go and check just to see if they have some, you know.
Mm.
They, like, one in five times they'll have ammo there.
Hmm.
That's it. But the last time I went, one of the only things sitting on the shelf there, Ted Nugent ammo.
Wow.
I don't know. I took a picture. I posted it on the social networks.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how do you get your own brand of ammo?
I don't know, but like, I guess you just have to be a relentless douche.
Advocate.
Yeah, that's the other word you could use. That's the other word you could use.
Okay. Well, enough about the Nuge.
No, seriously, though. Let's keep talking about him.
So, Mike.
That's my name. Don't
Where are you
that.
From? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Seattle, okay. Washington.
Okay. Why don't you tell me...
You and me were kind of roommates. I mean, not really.
Yeah, sorta. No, this is true.
So, like...
In Portland, though.
No, yeah. I lived here. That's how we know each other.
Yeah. I was getting there. No, I'm kidding. So, I know you as a talented guitarist.
That's kind of you. Too kind, probably.
Where did you... how did you ever take up guitar? Is this like a... getting the girls in high school thing, or...
No, that literally didn't happen.
Okay.
Literally didn't happen. I think from the time I was a really little kid, I remember there was always music playing in my house. My mom had a, you know, to me seemed like a huge record collection.
Mm-hmm.
But she probably had 10 or 20 records, but they were all good records.
Mm-hmm.
By the standards of the day and by now standards, they were classics.
Okay.
You know, she wasn't listening to like cutting edge hip rock or anything. Like, we had the Steve Miller Band and Bob Seger and Boss Skaggs and like meat and potatoes, 70s stuff.
Yeah.
And to this day, like, when I hear that music, I still get excited. And so, you know, you'd put those records on and you'd open the picture up and there'd be these terrifying looking dudes.
Right.
And holding guitars and stuff. And you put it together as a 4 or 5 year old, like, they do these sounds with those things. Right.
Yeah.
And so I decided very early on that that's what I wanted to do.
Wow, that is pretty early on. So
now I'm 41, yeah. and I wonder, like, is it too late to turn around?
was 5 year old me the best decision maker for my career path? No, I'm kidding.
I told my mom. I told her when I was a kid, like, I'm going to be this part, I'm sure she's really disappointed in me. I said, I'm going to be a doctor during the week and a rock star on the weekend. That's what I told my mom.
That's great.
When I was 5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, none of those, the closest truth to that statement is I have more than one job. That's the greatest similarity.
So, do you play other instruments or is it just guitar?
Yeah, I play the bass and I play the drums really badly, but I like to think that I'm pretty good at the drums.
Okay.
But I'm not.
I mean, are you like trained as a guitarist or have you just self-taught?
Am I trained? So, because I couldn't get, you know, as a young kid, I was really poor.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up really poor. So, The only way I could start to play music was get into the school music program. And, you know, we couldn't rent an instrument, went to public school. They had loaners there, real crappy, you know, instruments. But nevertheless, I started playing trumpet. So I can read music. Mm-hmm. I can write music. I can, and I do some of that with guitar. So I teach now. Mm-hmm. But that's sort of the foundation of my theory knowledge. That's where it started. And then the rest of it, I figure it out.
Yeah.
And when I got my first guitar, it was the single hugest game changer in my life. I would come home from school. When I got my guitar, I was literally a 4-point student.
Uh huh. You had like perfect A student.
Yeah. And I had been, you know, from the seventh grade up until the first. I got it for Christmas birthday kind of deal, you know.
Yeah.
And so first semester of my freshman year had just finished 4.0, and then it was just from there until graduation. It was just a slow and steady decline. And to where I literally like barely graduated high school because one of the teachers knew I had joined the Marine Corps.
Mm.
And he was like, well, let's just get him the hell out of town. I'll pass him and I never have to think about him again. I don't have to drive past him as I'm leaving Granite Falls. Like, I'm at the one flashing red light and he's out there panhandling or whatever. You know, I don't have to look at his stupid face. So we'll pass him, get him out of town. So that's basically how I graduated.
Wow. And this is because you're playing guitar? Or
I come home and play for like 5 hours a day.
Okay. Do you remember the first band you played in?
Well, yeah, when I was in high school, I had a band called FSB.
Okay.
The Finkelstein Shit Band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard of them, but...
Really?
Yeah.
You've heard of the Finkelstein Shit Kid.
No. No, so, what is that?
You know, it's a Cheech and Chong reference.
Oh, okay.
Really popular
okay.
with 15-year-olds.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my first band. But my uncle... Bless his heart, bought me my first guitar. He was at work and had a, we'll just call it an industrial accident. I think a saw cut his finger off. But if you do that at home, you cut your finger off. But if you do it at work, it's an industrial accident.
Right.
Right. Doesn't matter like how great or small the the job is that you're doing. You could sand it off, you know, probably like. Anyway, he cut off his fingertip and got a settlement from the state. And he bought me a guitar.
Oh, okay.
Because he wanted someone to play with. He was a drummer. And so we would get really high and drunk for hours and hours and play really poorly, very loud.
Yeah.
And some of the, yeah, just like, you know, popular 80s. FM radio jams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil, you go ahead and fill in the blanks.
You know what's funny? Okay.
Lots of things.
It's just that half the guests I have, like, that I talk to on this show, have Wikipedia pages.
Yeah. Half of them do?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, have you read yours?
I have one, yeah. Mine actually, so, can I tell you?
Yeah, tell me about your...
So, you know, so, I don't know where that came from.
The like, page?
Yeah, the Wikipedia page. Like,
you could look at it.
Anyone can make a Wikipedia page about uh-huh. anything, is my understanding.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think that anyone can edit it.
Pretty
and
much.
Information is gathered, I don't know how, through the magic of the internet connection.
Uh-huh.
And that's a social network. Right. And so All of a sudden, there was a Wikipedia page. Uh-huh. And at one point, I was in this band 8 years ago called The Long Winters.
Uh-huh.
And a very funny guy sort of is the main guy of that band, John Roderick.
Uh-huh.
Follow him on Twitter. He's real funny.
Okay.
So he decided he was going to, on his website, write bios for... He has this a massive rotating cast of band members because, you know, he's an artist and sometimes that can create a situation where a lot of different people come through your band.
Okay.
And he's great.
well said.
I love John. And so John wrote a bio for me. And, you know, I was in the band. My tenure was not the shortest. I was so disappointed to learn that. But I lasted one tour, which was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the half of the recording process of his last record. I mean, make a new record, John, if you're listening.
Oh, wow. This is the... That was like almost... Yeah, what, 9 years ago or something?
Well, not that quite that long ago, but it was a while. Yeah, yeah. It's been a while.
Huh.
I know he's writing and stuff, so okay. Hopefully he's going to have a new record soon. But he wrote a bio for me, and I was gone, I think, at that point, or maybe I wasn't, but I must have been, because he said that I had to leave the band because I couldn't tour because of my... the details of my parole.
Oh yeah, it's all coming out now.
Or something like something, you know.
Yeah.
And so
see the hard hitting investigative journalism in action here.
So that was pretty funny at the time,
uh-huh.
And it's still pretty funny to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't really give a squirt a piss. But here's the thing: fast forward to whatever year it is,
right?
And I'm a guitar teacher, and I teach people of all ages, including kids. Mm-hmm. And so occasionally, you know, there will be that parent who wants to, like, Google search their kid's guitar teacher.
Sure.
And then, oh, hey, look, that guitar teacher, Mike, he's got a Wikipedia page. That's weird. Because it's not like I advertise or I, like, talk to the parents and like, yeah, did you know I do this and that? Like,
it's going to cost extra because, like, I'm on Wikipedia.
Right. It's going to cost extra because I know the guy that was in that band and I play with him. Yeah.
Right.
I don't, like, a lot of these parents don't even know that, they don't know anything about
me. Right,
they know me as the guitar teacher. So they kind of, I think, I can just sort of like, I only get the end product. Like the expression on their face. There's always that moment that when a parent walks in with their kid to the guitar store and I'm in the back and I see the look on their face and I'm like, oh, they read the Wikipedia page. Because it says, like, you know,
right.
It implies that I'm a... And it made it from... So what I'm saying is it made it from John's website to my Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And undisclosed, like, why... the fictional parole, you know.
Well, it's in the footnotes.
Oh, will you read it? Read it to me.
Which part of it?
The thing that says, like, why I had to leave the Long Winters.
Squires, that's you.
Yeah.
Contributed guitar and bass tracks for the Long Winters' first record, The Worst You Can Do Is Harm.
True.
On the track Scent of Lime. However, his strict conditions of his parole at the time, as well as his involvement with other bands, prohibited him from joining the band until 2005, where he played with the group for less than a year before departing.
Yeah, those things are true, except for that parole thing.
There are three citations for that paragraph.
What? Tell me what that means.
Well, it references...
Should I get that?
No, Elizabeth will get that. It says it's cited from DuffLoaded.com is one of the citations for that. TheLongWinters.com is another. And How I Spent My Loaded Vacation from DuffLoaded.com. So just banned websites, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so...
So now you know.
That's the best thing about my Wikipedia page. Do people, like, do things to their own Wikipedia page?
I'm sure you can. I mean, I don't know. It might look weird. You probably have, pay someone else to do it.
I have, like, a super... I just want to make up lies about myself, like, you know. Mike Squires was born with a third arm, you know, growing out of his left shoulder, and you know, had it surgically removed.
I think it looks like what you got to do is get someone else to write it on the internet somewhere, and then cite that, like reference that, and then people think, oh, it must be true. It's on the internet.
I'm so glad that Twitter page isn't cited as fact.
Your Twitter page,
my Twitter feed, like directly. Was reflected on my Wikipedia page. I probably look like twice as big of an asshole.
I'm sure that. I mean, you know, I don't think that parents they'd be like, "Well, he's an authentic guitarist." You know, I wouldn't, but maybe it's just me. I'd be like, great, I'd rather have my kid...
They're like, hey, you know, even Keith Richards did a little time in the clinky. Right?
Oh, sure, yeah. That's right. yeah.
I mean, just don't
That's what they're thinking.
We just can't let them, you know, share needles.
Yeah, right. Just keep it clean with the kids. could you even... I read this and I was like, oh, holy shit, you've been in like a million bands.
Not that.
Could you even name all the bands you've been in?
I think so.
Okay.
There are bands that I've been in that aren't probably on my page. I don't know. Maybe people know.
Yeah.
Maybe people know.
Well, the first one you mentioned is not on here.
What's that? The Finkelstein Ship Band?
Yeah. It's not.
That's a tragedy that they're.
I know.
That
they go unmentioned. You need to fix that. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Completely unrecognized.
What kind, like.
Deserves a whole paragraph.
That's you know, Wikipedia. The one other guy in the band, Kerry Wiles, my high school buddy who played the drums, he would be so disappointed.
Yeah.
You know?
And we don't want...
Is it?
That would just be mean.
Yeah, can you just edit that out?
Should I?
No.
I always say I'm going to edit stuff out of these, and then I always forget.
You don't.
So, having been in all these bands, you must enjoy touring. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's awesome. It's kind of like saying, you know, like, hey, you like food? You know, it's like, yeah, no, yeah, I like food if it tastes good, you know?
So it depends on the tour.
Yeah, if it tastes good and it doesn't give me food poisoning. Yeah, right. Some tours are awesome and some tours suck.
Yeah.
But in my main band... Luckily, most tours are really great. And if, like, there's so much to touring that people don't see. And now, you know, I'm old.
Yeah.
And...
You're 40 wonderful.
I know.
So am I, so it's cool.
You look 40 wonderful tonight.
Thank
you. you know, I'm not getting in a van. And that's not to say I wouldn't. But I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
What was your last tour with Loaded?
Our last tour, we went to Australia and Japan.
Okay.
And so you can't drive a van to Australia. And then even once you get there, the cities are so far apart, you'd be a dipshit to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So... We flew to every gig. We had hotels. But a typical tour, we go to the UK a lot, Europe, and we have a bus.
Yeah.
And we don't get hotel rooms, you know, or maybe we'll get a room if we have a day off. But, you know, the venues that we play usually have showers. We'll shower after and before sometimes. And you just don't, you know.
What do you mean you don't get a hotel? Where do you sleep?
We have a bus.
Oh, you just sleep in the bus? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
The bus is quite comfortable.
Huh.
And, you know, over the years, we've really kind of honed our kits down. Like, I can go on tour for a month with a backpack.
Okay.
And I'll do laundry every night. We all do. Like, it's sometimes it's a little disgusting. Like, the bus is just, like, looks like an indoor laundry line.
Uh-huh.
It's just hanging everywhere, drying. And
oh, okay.
But, you know, at the end of the tour, we've spent that much less on hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are, like, 6-7 of us touring, and, like, if you think about it, even if a hotel room was only $100, which good luck finding a hotel room in Europe for $100 a night, like, if you're on tour for 3 weeks, $700 every night,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of cake.
Yeah.
And that's my cake.
So you guys aren't you're not like the Joe Walsh throwing things out the hotel window kind of touring. You're like, you guys are kind of grown up.
Yeah, I mean, we still play fart tennis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if that makes us grown up or not, but we.
This is definitely going on your Wikipedia. If I'm just kidding.
He's a fart tennis pro. Why would we want to create that kind of a situation for ourselves?
Yeah.
Those are the things that, like, young, drunk, asshole kids do.
Right.
And they do it because... Well, and, I mean, they don't... It's not just because, like, oh, well, Led Zeppelin did that. Well, I mean, the reason Led Zeppelin did it is because they were bored as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Touring, unless you really make the effort, touring is mostly boring. It's like mm-hmm. 23 hours of doing... nothing even close to what you glamorized it
mm-hmm.
to be as a kid.
Right.
Sitting in a black room on a nasty couch that who knows what's been done on.
Uh-huh.
And just waiting and, like, you know, I haven't drank in quite some time. And uh-huh. the other guys don't drink. And
yeah.
So, you know, there's just, like...
I'm just picturing you guys all sitting around and, you know, tweeting.
Yeah, basically. That's kind of like what it
playing
is.
Playing a game,
like,
or reading a book on your phone.
And, you know, I'm not a sports fan, but the other guys talk about sports a lot, and we talk about motorcycles, mm-hmm. and, you know. We'll go walk around. We're like, we'll wake up. We all wake up early in the morning, drink a load of coffee,
mm-hmm.
and then go walk around a city.
Yeah.
And go see some stuff, you know, meet people and... just kind of get a feel for what's going on. And it's cool. That's how you don't go crazy on tour.
Yeah.
Go, you know, luckily, we wake up in a city. Like, if we were in a van, you know, you don't have that going right. on. I don't know how these young kids do it that, like, get wasted and sleep for 4 hours and then wake up in the morning and then drive to the next town all hungover like that. That sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that is not fun at all.
You never did that?
I absolutely did that. That's okay. How I know it's okay. not fun.
Yeah, you just don't know how the hell other people could do it now.
Yeah. I mean,
when I was talking to Hutch, he was saying, like, they use those vans, kind of like the Stumptown delivery van, those
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
things.
Splitters.
Yeah. Where it's like, you have, like, a Wi-Fi receiver on the thing, and it seems like... even on a budget, touring for a band has kind of gone modern and high tech.
Yeah.
Seems weird. It just seems very different from, you know, like loading up the, you know, the buddy's, like, trash
station
white
wagon.
Van. Yeah. And, but do you have, like, a favorite, like, tour? Like, you know, is there, like, a favorite, like, going through Australia, or is there a favorite venue or anything like that?
Oh, man.
I mean, is Japan fun to play?
Japan is super fun to play. It's so different than here.
Like some bands have, like, a huge fan base in some random part of the world. Is your band kind of like that? Is it just mostly in the States?
We do pretty well in South America, which is cool because it's rad down there and we can go there in the winter. We did all right in Australia. That was our first time there.
Okay.
I mean, we don't play in the States very much. And in the States, we're not a cool band. You know, we're not hip. We don't. I don't even know what the cool magazines are anymore. What's the cool music magazine or?
I have no idea. I assume it wouldn't be a magazine. I assume it'd be like Pitchfork or something.
Pitchfork would never. They would sooner stick a pitchfork through us. That's the fact.
Okay.
Or they would just roll their, if they were to write a review of us, it would be a literary rolling of the eyes. And so that, that's what, generally speaking, what America feels like to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, what we do is somewhere between heavy rock, metal, and punk. Mm-hmm. And so you either have to be willing to go and just slug it out, just pound the pavement and go back. And, we're old. Like, we got too many responsibilities to do that. Or you have to have a radio hit. And we're just a little bit too left of center to have that happen mm-hmm. for us, I think. We made a couple runs at it, and I don't know. We would like to tour America. But so we go to these other places. We go to places where we know that we can play for people
mm-hmm.
and, with confidence. So that's what's up.
Do you
like food? Do you like food?
I love food.
I mean, if it's good. Is it good?
It depends. I'm thinking about food right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I offer you a piece of fruit?
No, thank you.
Yeah. There's a blood orange.
Those are actually really good, but...
My first job when I moved to... Well, my second job when I moved to Seattle was I was a produce man.
A produce man?
I was a produce man.
Uh-huh.
At the Pike Place Market, yeah.
Oh. Better bring one home there.
Whoa!
Man overboard.
See ya.
That was physical comedy. Does not really translate for the...
That's okay. I lost my train of thought. And it was going so well, and then I just dropped the ball.
You were like, do you like...
Is that what I was saying?
Yeah.
Do you like touring or recording better if you're given the choice?
Well, the thing is you can't have one without the other.
That's true.
So, for instance, my band probably will not go tour again until we have a new record or mm-hmm. EP, which I think... Hopefully, we will have by the end of the year.
Cool.
And maybe we'll go. Maybe we'll get to go do some stuff in the fall.
Yeah.
Now, I like to tour. I love it. I like to play music really loud and look at me, look at me, look at me, wankety, wankety, wankety. It's fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, how ridiculous it is. It's not lost on me. I don't take it... I take it as seriously as I need to in order to do that thing well. But it's a ridiculous thing that I do. My job is ridiculous. I act like a child. It's a ridiculous job. You have to take yourself somewhat seriously, know? You have to take yourself seriously enough to feel confident that you deserve to be on stage in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that requires a certain amount of ego.
Sure.
But if, the problem is like, a lot of folks take that to heart.
Right.
And they, they feel super important about it. But the truth is, if you practice enough, or you have enough like raw natural talent, or you're cool or hip or whatever, any asshole can get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I've met a lot of them.
I think it is. I think it's really like you know, famously, performers overcompensate for their insecurity, you know. I was just watching a documentary on the Eagles. I referenced this last week. I apologize. Awesome. It was good, though.
I love the. That was one of the records that was around.
Absolutely.
The house. Hotel California.
Best selling album of the 70s, the greatest hits, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Awesome album.
Well, you should see the documentary on iTunes. It's really good. But for a documentary. But you know, like
generally speaking, they just suck.
Exactly. They're all much older now.
Are they? They aged at the same rate as you and I?
Yeah, as no, most
maybe
people.
Maybe even faster.
Well, Joe Walsh, for sure. He looks.
Yeah, he's not like other people, though.
No, he looks weird.
I saw him on Daryl's Cabin or whatever that show is. Have you seen that?
No, what is that?
You don't know what this is? Daryl's house or Daryl's garage or it's like Daryl Hall.
Okay.
And he hosts a different artist every episode.
Really?
This is it's like a reality show, but it's like a music show. They show up and it starts with like they just kind of hang.
Uh-huh.
And then they like whoever the guest is, they play some of their tunes, they play some of Daryl's tunes, and then they cook dinner. It's so killer.
Is this on TV? Or?
This is on television.
Like what network?
I don't even know.
I'll check that out.
You'd love it.
Yeah,
it's
would.
It's really good.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
I've seen only a couple episodes, but one that I saw, Joe Walsh was a guest.
He was basically saying that, like, you know, all of his antics in the 70s were just because he felt really insecure in the band and felt like, you know.
Right.
Those guys were so much more talented, and he was just like this, you know.
He's one of the filthiest guitar players of all time. I don't care who you are. I don't care, like, I don't care if you like that stuff where a band has, like, one drum and the drummer plays standing up and just has, like, a floor tom and a cymbal and an electric distorted ukulele or whatever kind of things that is whatever's hip right now. Joe Walsh is a filthy son of a bitch on the guitar.
He is.
He's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hotel California guitar solo.
Yeah.
The, you know, tandem.
The duet, yeah, the famous.
It's I would argue that it's the best. I know that you're not supposed to talk about art that way. I'm gonna call Hotel California art right now.
Okay.
And, you know, you can send me hate mail if you want or whatever, but it's art.
It's a
and
magnificent
it's the best art.
You know, the solo, it's like that. That's like their. It's like the solo is as famous as the rest of the song.
Yeah,
you know,
because
like
it's that kick ass.
It's like a double hitter. That song. It's like they go through like this whole like, you know, like in the 70s, everyone loved to tell this long story in their song and like fill it with as many, you know, goddamn metaphors as they could, and then the solo where there's like double solo and you know like.
It's
great. Have
it's
you ever
so
heard?
Well orchestrated, but yeah, he's really good. Nice. He doesn't. He isn't. How is he? How are his interviews? He talks strange.
Yeah. He's just a weird guy. He's a little unbalanced. He just laughed a lot about. He laughed more than he talked. Someone would ask him a question. He'd just laugh.
I like that.
Yeah, he didn't know what, you know, he's just like, you know, he's kind of like Keith Richards in an interview, just kind of mumbles and laughs. He's all right.
He was like in the 80s when the Eagles kind of went away.
Sure. Broke up, I think is what.
Yeah, when hell was frozen over or whatever.
Right, right.
Or when hell was still, yeah, whatever. I don't know. Deep reference.
No, I get it.
He was American. Joe Walsh. Had there was a period of time where he was a radio DJ.
I didn't know that.
In Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was, you know, a wacky, funny guy.
I remember he put out some solo stuff after the Eagles, like.
Well, he had before and during, had some great stuff.
Yeah.
James Gang.
Yeah.
Filthy, of course. And then all like,
what was that? What was that thing that the guitarists play? And you're gonna have to teach me. It was like where there's like that tube, and they play like wah wah wah. You know, like he played
the
that
talk box. Yeah, yeah. He used it in Rocky Mountain Way.
What the fuck is that thing?
Well, it's technology's come a long way, so yeah. that they don't do it this way anymore.
Oh, good.
Or they still do.
It's just like, weird that but he had a hose next to his microphone.
Yeah. The so what happens is it goes between the amp, the speaker cable comes out. Goes to that. It's called a talk box.
Okay.
And it's basically like a... I think the first one was made in the 40s or something. Like, pull the Wikipedia page up. It was invented for... I think... I can't be positive, but I'm pretty sure that it was invented for the pedal steel guitar.
Okay.
The talk box.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Joe Walsh, I want to say I read this in Vintage Guitar Magazine. I want to say he got one of the first talk boxes that was ever built as a gift from this guy when he was doing his time down in Nashville. And
1939.
Is that right?
It was when it was invented, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, it's, you know, the signal comes out. I think there's a tiny little speaker in this box, and then the tube runs up, and it's like this long sort of like reverberator. Right? And you wah, 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 you move your mouth and it sort of reflects back down the tube or something. I don't really know. I'm not a scientist. But then that goes to the speaker cabinet.
Okay.
So you would have to have a second amp.
Oh, okay. I see.
Which is weird.
I see, yeah.
But now, you know, they have
it's all digital and
fake.
There's no emotion.
Yeah.
I remember you trying to show me how to use one of those. It was like that kind of stomp box where you had to, like, you could set a loop.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to play along with it, and I could not get that damn thing to work. Because it's like you have to kind of hear the... It's really hard to time.
It can be. Now, of course, you can, like... link all of these
things. Have it triggered by the actual beat
like
of the actual
MIDI
song.
MIDI
yeah.
clocks will, yeah. like, have a tempo, and
right.
you just... You know, I want to be really good with the technology, and I'm just not very good with it.
Mm. Is that bad? I mean, do you ever feel like you're missing out on something?
Sometimes. That's why I spend so much money on all that stupid shit. But yeah. then I get it, and I try to employ it into my sort of like everyday goings-on.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't usually go very well for me.
Yeah.
I just started writing with this guy. So I got to get you these couple records. Maybe you wouldn't be into it, but I produced these couple records by this band in Seattle called Campfire OK. And
okay.
I think they're really good. And I started writing some songs with a drummer who's also like really, really talented. He's not, I don't think the drums is his first instrument, but he's a wicked drummer. Very musical drummer. He's not like a basher, you know. He went to music school. He's that guy. So he plays all instruments. So I'm trying to not play any traditional rock guitar, which is a stretch for me. It's difficult. It's what I've done forever. 25 years? How old am I? 41? What's 41 minus 15? I don't even know.
I'm not a mathematician.
That's how poorly I did in school.
I'm guessing 16, but I'd have to get out a calculator.
I'm trying to, you know, use a guitar controller to play keyboard sounds and other strangeness. Just
so is that something that would like basically turn your guitar tones into MIDI signals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems like fun.
It is pretty fun. But so far, we've written two songs. One sounds just like Massive Attack, and one sounds vaguely like Bjork.
Yeah, I remember. You know, it's hard. Sometimes you get so excited because you got this great sound coming together. And like I remember recording at RC's and like being all excited about this song. I was like, it's got this great vibe. You guys got to hear it. And I played it and I was like... It fucking sounds like Sweet Emotion. It's just like Sweet Emotion. Have you never listened to Aerosmith? I was like, well, shit, I guess I never really listened to much Aerosmith. It does sound just like that.
How could you not have ever heard that song?
I really... I didn't. I didn't really know that song. I don't know. There's big gaps.
Did you have a restraining order on speakers?
You would think.
Did you have a restraining order against?
I there's this huge gaps in my musical knowledge, and I've been sort of filling them in.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's hard to imagine that I missed out on Sweet Emotion all those years. Sweet.
It even had like a resurgence in the 90s. They had that when they came back and they had a couple big records. And then Sweet Emotion was released as a single again. Who knows why? I don't even think they had a greatest hits album. But do you remember the video was like, you know, I remember the video. It was like phone sex. This is pre-internet, kids. Pre-internet. This is how grown-ups did it.
Kids ask your
desperate.
Parents.
This is how desperate grown-ups did it.
This is not Snapchat.
No. What is that?
It's like, you don't know? I'll tell you after your story.
Okay. So, the video was like this, like, you know, for the time, like this smoking hot babe in like lingerie and like this like dude who was like slick and handsome and lived in a fancy penthouse condo, and they're talking on the phone and they're telling, you know, they're describing each other and and they're having phone sex. And then at the end of the video, they hang up the phone and it's really this like skinny, scrawny, like 17-year-old kid and this like 50-year-old, you know, like 300-pound gal that's like smoking and like changing her kid's diaper or whatever.
That actually sounds familiar. I must have seen that.
Yeah. But the song is old as the hills.
Snapchat, or its equivalent. There's a bunch of these out that the kids love where you can like take a picture or something, but then it deletes it in like 5 seconds or whatever.
What?
You not heard of this? They're huge. They're huge. So it's like, oh, here's my genitals, and then the photo disappears. So you don't have to worry about it. You have not heard of this? Okay. Everyone else in the studio is nodding their heads.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. How many genitals have you seen on Snapchat?
What? No, she just knows what it is.
Zero. How disappointing. So
I
here's the thing. Can I talk about how awful I think this is?
The idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so the internet and the disconnect of everything has made people so fucking brave.
Right. Well, I think that's a reaction to the fact that if you post something on Facebook, it's like there forever.
Right.
Like you try to run for president and you're not going to be able to because you posted your genitals on Facebook or whatever. But that now, thanks to things like Snapchat, you take the picture and then you know that it's not going to end up on CNN or whatever. Theoretically.
I'm not buying it. But also, who cares?
Either.
Like, why should you? What compels people to want to take a picture of their genitals and put it on the internet or share it with anyone except for me?
Right. No, I know.
In a text message.
Well, no, I think
you can get
a
hold of me at 503. No.
I think it's partly. I don't know, man. You know, the kids.
Here's the thing. People are rude dicks over email.
Yeah.
People behave and text too. I hate text, but I'm forced to subscribe to this form of communication. Imagine.
To be fair, text messages brought us together here
fuck
today.
Fuck text messages. Here's the thing: if the technology of text messaging and wireless cellular telephone calling came out on the same day, what would you do first? Would you send a digital telegram? Fucking 1776, or would you call someone and be like, holy shit, you can hear my voice and I'm in France and you are in Tehachapi.
Like, I just want to point out that, are you referring to multimedia texting where you could include a photo of your junk? Because that would totally change the game. I mean, if it's just texting words, I would say, yeah, the phone call. Because then you can make the Sweet Emotion video.
Right. Anyway, people are so brave in that.
Yeah.
Because, they'll say and do things in the absence of that. Like, you know, 20 years ago, people I guess people would write letters and be rude too, wouldn't they? Like, I don't know. I just didn't. It seems so much more formal and polite.
Right, right. Well, courteous. Yeah. I think people famously would write long letters in which they basically said "fuck you," whereas nowadays right, you just write those words and then send off the. Yeah, exactly. I mean, to the point where I have a plugin in Gmail, and that like you basically when you hit send,
when you hit star. When you say control star, it just sends this form letter that says, you're a cock.
No.
Go fuck yourself.
No, when you send an email, it basically, it pretends to send it, but it doesn't for like 60 seconds.
So that you can decide if you really?
Yeah. It's actually handy, because I've been known to write some pretty.
Saved so much money in therapy.
Probably true, yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes. Here's the thing. Sometimes I'll type a text or type an email and then read it mm-hmm. and then go, yeah, felt good to get that out of my system, but felt crappy to read it. So that leads me to believe that I shouldn't send it.
Mm-hmm.
I should think about how I would feel if I received an email or a text like that.
Another thing about like, texts or emails or whatever is it's just like if you got someone writes you a letter and you're like this person's a dick, it's like, well, you'd have to actually, it's a lot of work to like send that to 50 friends and say, hey, your buddy is a dick. But with email, it's like I've often seen someone send out an email and then a bunch of people like start forwarding it around like, oh right. look at, and it's like you just have no, you can't assume that, you should probably be more guarded in email and more polite. But the opposite seems to happen. But we're really digressing here. So you're a guitarist.
Yeah.
You're a teacher. I've heard this expression before, both literally and as a metaphor, that tone is in the fingers.
Yes.
And, well, I've experienced it because I've actually recorded with you. And the played on the same instrument as you and everything, and your part, the same notes, sounds completely different and way better, you know?
That's probably not true, though.
Yeah, but what do you think that, like, how can guitarists sound so different on, like, the same instrument?
I don't know. There's so much at play.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, there is pick gauge
mm-hmm.
there. And these are just like, these are things which are that like don't even have to do with the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's string gauge, pick mm-hmm. gauge,
sure.
All these things that people obsess on in chat rooms or threads or whatever you call the kids call them, like where people go to geek out
uh-huh.
the music gear page, you know, and they're right. like, hey, I want to sound like David Gilmour. What pickups do I need? Well, it's not really about that.
Right.
You know, I fall prey to that same stuff all the time.
Right.
All the time. Be like, oh my God, listen to this song. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's amazing. And then, you know, maybe you'll go see the band live and it'd be like, wow, you know. He's using a such and such delay pedal. And then, you know, you go, you get that thing, and then you're like, I don't sound anything like him. You know,
yeah,
why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
Well, because there's so much more at play. There's how hard are you pressing down? I mean, these are just things that are like, anyone could observe. You know, being a teacher, like, I could hold down one string, you know, I could hold down the bottom E string on the third fret and play one note and it'll sound solid and clear. And, you know, you have a kid who's just starting out, hold down that same string and maybe it will sound solid and clear and exactly the same, but maybe it's going to sound weird and warbly because he's not, pushing down consistently, or maybe, you know, not picking and pushing his finger down at the same time. Or,
right.
And then when you get into playing notes that are stacked on top of each other, chords and moving notes and playing lines and then switching in between all those things. It's like a dance,
yeah.
You know? It's like, why do some dancers look really fluid and cool and some look like me when I dance?
Right.
Or like, why can two people do the same exact dance and one person looks sexy and one person looks like a dump?
Uh-huh. That's definitely like when you... I mean, you know, like Joe Walsh. Definitely... He could play the same song as someone else, and it's like, oh, that's definitely Joe Walsh, you know? That, like, you think of that Hotel California solo, it's very much like his... You could tell... I mean, even if there's two guitarists, you could tell which one is which, you know? Yeah. And like hearing two singers, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole thing about, like, you know, being economical and how you play, you know, like, when you're learning how to play, you don't understand, like, oh, I can do this right here. I don't have to move my hand all the way across the neck. Mm-hmm. There's an easier way. There's always an easier way to do things. And in ease comes comfortability. And the more comfortable someone is on the guitar, I think the cooler they sound, regardless of their technical skill level. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone's just at ease, it's kind of... It might not be evident, like distinctly evident, but it will come across. Like if someone's super technically proficient, but they're really uptight and maybe uncomfortable with the material, or they're self-conscious, or they're worried about what the dude with the Ibanez shirt on in the front row. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
those are the people that you hate to see in the front row, the guys with the like gear shirts on, like Marshall. Amps, Gibson, whatever. Like, those guys, they always have their arms crossed, and they're, like, staring at you. And so, like, I always stare back at them.
Why? Why do they make people nervous?
Oh, they don't make you nervous. You just know that they're up there, like, you know, it's like anything.
Like, they're a fellow musician, or they're, like, a scout?
You know,
or they're
usually
just like
they're just, like, they're, like... thinking to themselves, like, I could do this so much better.
Oh, okay. So they're just the douchebags.
Well, what? I mean, I wouldn't, like, I'm not going to go that far.
No.
I'm going to let you do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's me. Do you have any advice? I mean, being a teacher, do you have any advice for someone learning to play guitar?
Practice.
Perfect.
Sorry. Some things you got to do the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
But I see this thing happening right now, and and I have a theory on it, and I have way more like junior high and grade school girl students than boys, and I think that the whole video game guitar playing thing,
right?
Like, either young boys are they got into video games and that's what they're into, or they were into video games and then they decided they were going to get into guitar because you could do it on a video game,
mm-hmm.
and they play the guitar on a video game and they think they can play guitar, and then but girls are too smart for that. They're like, I, you know, I'm speaking generally, but they're like, well, I'm not really into video games, and I want to play guitar, and so I'm going to get a guitar, and I'm going to learn how to play it. I don't know.
That's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
It's cool that more girls are playing guitar, or I'm seeing more girls play guitar, but it's weird that guys seem just not that interested in it. Maybe, you know... But also now girls have more guitar players to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think that's also true.
Yeah.
But yeah, practice. You gotta do it the old-fashioned way. So where I was going with the video game thing is like, the few boys that I've seen come, they usually go, and it's like, oh... I don't just master this on the first level and then I just take it up to the next level. No, man, you got to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to and it's not just about pushing buttons in time. You know, it's about a lot more than that if you want it to sound good. It's not sound regurgitated at you and you just have to tap a button at the time when the sound and the line lines up with that button on the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I've never actually played one of those games, but I mean,
it's really fun.
Are they?
Yeah,
they're actually fun. Okay.
I was pretty good. I was pretty good at it. But practice. Like I said, I practiced 5 hours a day when I was a kid. You know, you don't have a job, kid. What else are you going to do?
True.
Go out and cause trouble?
Go to school?
What are you going to do? Go to school? Like, plan for your future? Don't be stupid. The world's ending. I thought we covered that at the very beginning.
First lesson. So is there, are there any bands that you're, like, super excited about right now? Like, I mean, I'm sure there always are, but any albums you're just dying to come out or?
What do I, you know, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
like,
that's okay.
I like music.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the new Mark Lanegan record. I heard a couple of the songs and
okay.
It's like, it's another album of covers, which is cool. And there are some really, there's some cool stuff, unexpected gems.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recorded in Seattle and I went by when they were mixing. That was exciting. I'm a big Mark fan. I got to play with him one night and it was kind of like one of the greatest nights of my life. I'm excited to hear, to get that record. Let's see, what else am I excited about? I like this band Ghost. Do you know what Ghost is? They had to change their name to Ghost BC. They're a satanic metal band.
No, I've never heard them.
You probably would like it. It sounds vaguely Blue Oyster Cultish.
Okay.
It's like these like sort of metal, like classic 70s type metal.
Mm-hmm.
But with like harmonies and melodies, but you know.
That sounds interesting. I will check it out.
It's good. And then they all wear like, you know, it's theatrical.
Ah.
So they
they dress like ghosts?
No, the band dress like they're nameless ghouls. So they wear like cloaks and shrouds. And then the singer is this Pope-like figure, but with skull mask. It's really like a satanic pope, anti-pope.
Okay.
It's really quite good.
I inherited a 70s record collection, basically, so I've been listening through to a lot of...
Nice.
The stuff that I clearly missed from this, you know, a lot of
Cat Stevens.
Oh, yeah, you know, Jim Croce. Well, and like Eagles stuff, and Linda Ronstadt and, you know...
Chris Christopherson.
Oh, sure. There's a Loggins and Messina in there.
Crystal Gale.
Yeah, there's a Crystal Gale.
Is there any Boss Gags in there?
There is.
You don't miss the boat that day.
There is.
It's good stuff.
There's all of it's in there. All that.
You're not going to have to pay a sync license for me, like, singing that little
song. No.
Good.
It's a podcast. Yeah, nobody
never hear it. No one's ever going
to
hear it.
Yeah, that's right. We're safe.
Who else am I excited about? I just, you know, I don't know. I like music.
How about shows? Are you excited about the new Arrested Development?
I am.
Season?
When does it start?
Like, in a week or two.
Here's the thing about me. I just moved recently, and I decided when I moved into this new place, I was going to get cable.
Okay.
I have cable.
You won't see it on cable. It's on Netflix.
For the first time ever.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I have that, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I have it all, man. I have all the stuff, right?
That's it.
And the thing is, I almost never use it.
Yeah, it's
almost,
true. It's
like,
true.
I thought it was such a good idea, and the truth is, I could have bought seasons on iTunes and saved money.
That's what I ultimately do. We just canceled cable. It ended up being like $100 a month or something. I mean, I know we still get internet through them, but
yeah.
Yeah, a season on iTunes is like, well, $30, and you just... Most people nowadays, in my opinion, in my experience, just binge watch anyway.
Yeah.
No one has the patience to wait a goddamn week and then tune in at 7.
Right.
It's like you just want your show and you want the whole season. You want it now.
I'm doing that with Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah.
I saw the first two seasons. I saw the first two seasons just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And then now I'm, you know, it's like that with Breaking Bad. Same deal. Waiting for that.
If Candace can't watch the whole season in one sitting, she won't even get into the show. Just really? Like forget it. If I have to watch one episode and then wait, drives her crazy.
I was super into that American Horror Story show for a
minute. Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
The first season was good, and then the second season was looking to be really good, and then my move happened, and somewhere right in the middle, and I just kind of tapered off. I got to jump back on that.
It looked scary.
It is a little. It's creepy. It's not really scary. It's really creepy, though. Huh. But Game of Thrones I'm really into.
Yeah.
To the point where...
People love that show.
There's up in Seattle at the Experience Music Project Museum, there's a science fiction portion. And there they had this like three-part series of shows that they did there. And this newest one is fantasy. And so there were... Yeah, I went to the grand opening pre-party, and you know, there's like, you know, David Bowie's like costume from Labyrinth, and like, you know, this kind of stuff is on display,
right.
Which I didn't really care about, and I knew I wasn't going to. I knew that there was going to be like a sword fighting display that was going to happen, which I was like vaguely interested in. Sure. But the thing that really drew me was that there was the Iron Throne, which is the throne from
Game of Thrones. I saw your photo on Instagram or whatever.
And so, you know,
is that the Iron Throne?
No, it's a replica.
Oh, okay.
And but you see, like for me, a fan of the show, I saw it and I was like, oh my goodness! And then you know, I had to wait in line to get a picture. I waited in line to get my picture taken on it, and everyone gets on it and they're like, hey, I'm on the throne, you know. And
winter maybe, is coming.
Yeah. And I was just like, fuck that. Like, I threw the crown on and I grabbed a sword. And it like, wasn't my first time to the, like, rodeo as far as getting in front of the camera. Like, you got one shot to try and look cool. I've looked like a dumbass enough times that I knew I had to kind of make it count. So I made it count.
Yeah.
I tried to look, you know, authoritative.
So that were you with someone who took your photo, or is it like one of those?
It was a whole thing, you know. They had a
like
photo.
You pay booth. $10 and you get.
No, it was like I'm sure, like for the regular grand opening, like when the folks came in, that maybe they had to pay. I don't know.
I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna stand behind the throne, and when someone sits down, I'm gonna be like, "What would you like for Christmas?"
Right. But that was the highlight of that week. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I'm excited for True Blood, actually. True Blood is, like, that's a guilty pleasure. Like, I actually am like, why do I watch this? Yeah. Like, Breaking Bad, you don't have to feel guilty about that, even though it's sort of soap. Is soap operatic? Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
No, I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Probably it is.
It is now.
You know,
True Blood, that's like, it's very,
it's very it's so soap kitschy. Opera.
It's like
I'm disappointed by the amount of sex that's in it these days. Now it's just like killing. I mean, that's cool. I like that. But like, it was sexier when there was more sex. That's a fact. That's just science. That's social science. I think it's got to end soon. I don't know. Breaking Bad, that's going to end soon. Then what?
Yeah.
Then I got to get into Mad Men or something? Oh, I just got into Californication. I watch it, like, I take my iPad. I'm a whore for the technology, right? So I have three iPads.
Why?
I have one that's, like, my iPad.
Like, even I don't have three iPads, and I'm like...
I have an explanation.
Okay.
One is my iPad.
Yeah.
That's the one that's in my bag on my motorcycle right? That's the one I take on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have, you know, I play in this casino band, and we're all on wireless in-ear monitors.
Yeah.
So, for anyone that doesn't know, monitors are what are the speakers that are on stage for the musicians so that they can hear everyone. You know, you can get your own levels on all the different instruments. So, the wave of the future is people, you know, not even the future, the wave of now is that people aren't using those. And the stage looks cleaner, and you have a more, like, you can walk 10 feet to the left or the right, and get it's the exact here. Same yeah. mix because yeah, you've yeah. got earbud things in, and you know people get molded ear. Anyway, we're on those things, and they're wireless, and you can control your own mix on your iPad,
oh,
which
wow.
you have set up at your own little station.
Okay,
and everything's labeled, and you know there are little iPad digital faders on the app, and you just run it up or run
it
down.
That's pretty cool.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is, I had, you know, in the first month of us sort of integrating this technology into the show, I forgot my iPad 3 of 4 or 5 times because it was so unusual. Like, why would I toss my iPad into my gig bag? And so
I would think half the time you'd be like, you'd be in the middle of a show and like you get a text message, brink, right?
Yeah, no, I mean,
turn those off.
I bought an iPad mini and mm-hmm. it just lives in my gig bag. Mm. It just stays there. It never comes out except for when I'm doing that gig.
Okay.
Right? And it literally has the apps that came with it.
Right.
You know, like stocks. Right. I never set up the email accounts or anything on there. Oh yeah, so it's wireless too. So I mean, if you were to get a message, it would pop up and not make a noise in your ears or in the PA.
Oh right.
So, I have that. Literally, the only thing in the little dock at the bottom uh-huh. is that one app.
Third iPad.
The third iPad I just got for another other job that I have.
Okay.
They gave it to me along with a guitar with this wireless MIDI pickup in it. So that's the thing that I was using, you know, to write songs with my buddy Brandon. And essentially, you know, I use it to do demos. I go to Guitar Center and I like go, "Hey guys, I'm the Fishman guy, and check it out. This is the new thing we got." And I play electric piano for them on the guitar, and it's cool. It's rad. So that's the only thing I have on there,
mm-hmm.
and that stays with that guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And this way, see, I like to compartmentalize these things, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
That way,
I mean, they're not like super expensive. Like if it was like 20 years ago, you'd have to get like a dedicated computer workstation
right.
and all the hardware for it and everything would be custom. It'd be like $5,000. It's like, well, like the Mini, it's like, what, $300?
Yeah, and I bought mine used. I got it for $250.
I mean, I've seen stump boxes that cost more than that.
Well, I have some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have $400 stump boxes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So stupid. But cool. I love technology as much as I hate it.
Cool. Well, Mike Squires, thank you for chatting with me today.
What, you bored?
Jesus Christ, I've got kids. I can't be here all
day.
We've been talking for...
Are you kidding me? Man, I'm just getting started.
Are you?
I don't know. I'm just like full of coffee now.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're just going to send me out into the world. Like, I'm going to let them know. And like when they're mad at me for what... Me being it's all like, well, caffeinated. I'm
blame it on the podcast.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that?
On the Ray.
Where can people find you? What's your account on Instagram? Is it?
I'll be
I'm
going to
make
I'm
you
at.
Say it out loud.
I'll be where I'm at. What do you want me to say?
What's your Instagram account?
Oh, my Instagram is the one social network that I keep private.
Like, oh, it is?
Yeah, I have to, like, you have to be approved.
Oh,
to,
I didn't
like,
even know that.
Yeah, so if
it.
You're...
What about Twitter? Are
if
you
you're
Twitter?
A fan or whatever and I didn't approve you, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I just... It's cool. Not that I don't like you or I don't appreciate you. It's that don't take it personally. I just don't like you as a person. No, that's not true. it's just that some things I have to have private.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Only my actual real friends that I... If, you know, if you're... I have kind of a rule, like if I don't have your phone number in my phone, then you don't get to follow me on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
Twitter, I have that. It's insert fart noise. That's me.
Okay.
And then you know, sometimes people go to the I have Facebook.
Oh.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have.
It's great.
I'm fed up with Facebook.
It's great. It's so cool. I don't know. I hardly go on there. Like I Twitter post. Yeah. I don't like to say tweet because it sounds dumb. But I'll post on Twitter, and then it just goes to my Facebook. So that's how most of those things happen.
Yeah, they start on Twitter.
Mainly, I keep Facebook because they have Scrabble and Lexulous, which is a similar. It's like a pre Words with Friends type thing. Uh-huh. I don't like Words with Friends. I don't like the interface is clunky.
I'll show you a game. You should play. This is a much better game.
Everyone keeps saying all this kind of stuff, but Lexulous works really well for me, and so does Scrabble. And I've got like 5 to 10 games going in at any time.
They get pretty addictive.
And constantly.
Yeah.
Like right now, there people are probably, you know,
kicking your ass on Facebook.
I hope so. Someone's got to. But
better
anyway,
than getting your face kicked on Assbook.
I get a lot of funny messages from people all over the.
It's gonna be the episode title.
Yeah. I get direct messages, like people email me and they're like, in whatever sort of like Google language translator, like, is this for the real Mike Squires? Yes, unless there's a fake one out there or some other Mike Squires. But
oh my God, I'm gonna start an account on Twitter, fake Mike Squires.
You should, yeah. You're gonna get like 7 followers. This is gonna be awesome. They're gonna write you all the time.
Every time someone tweets to you, you can just say, "Oh no, I'm not really Mike Squires. Look at fake Mike Squires.
He's the real one." The blessing and the curse is like I remember being a kid and like you wrote to a band, you know?
Yeah.
Like you wrote a letter, you stuck it in an envelope and you mailed it off, and then like sometimes like 3 months later you'd get a thing back and it was like, whoa! They wrote back and they sent me this sticker.
Yeah.
And that was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Which reminds me, there's this guy and Portugal who's been asking me for guitar picks for like 3 years, and I keep saying, oh man, I'm gonna put them in the mail, and Luis,
3 years,
Luis, if you're listening, you're still on my mind. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm gonna send them. I swear
that poor kid.
It's so much easier to be a correspondent. So anyway, I try to write back to everyone who sends me a message.
Except for poor Luis.
No, I write back to him.
Okay.
I just haven't fulfilled,
right,
you know, empty promises. Empty promises. Yeah. But, you know, if you do write, don't be weird and creepy. Like, I don't want to sound unappreciative, but, like, if we meet on Facebook, probably not going to invite you over for dinner or anything.
Right,
like,
right, yeah. I mean,
you're probably not going to, like, meet my sister or anything, you know? It's like, but that doesn't mean we have to be completely impersonal. Just,
yeah,
you know.
And retweet other things or something.
Yeah. If I feel like something is getting into creepy territory, I don't respond. Right. So, yeah. You know, if that I don't respond to you, now you know you're a creep.
Just once, I wish someone would ask me for like a mouse pad or something. Maybe I'll get some sort of fan.
Can I get one? Do you have?
No, I don't even use mouse pads.
You're like, right. It's like having training
wheels.
Right
on the bare metal here. Who uses mouse pads anymore?
You're like, are you kidding me?
I'm a designer. I use a graphics tablet. Thank you very much.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Dan Manchester, everybody. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Ray.
How are you this week?
Doing all right. Yeah.
You know, I've been re-listening. Well, since that Brazil 66 showed up, I've been re-listening to a lot of their stuff. And I like it. It's kind of got that. Every time I listen to them, I feel like I'm, like I say, I not how I imagine like a swinging party in the 60s to be, but how I imagine it to be presented in a movie. So I feel like I'm in a movie set of a party in the 60s when I hear that, you know?
Where's the party?
So do you know that movie The Party with Peter Sellers in it?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he basically...
A lot of Peter Sellers' work accidentally.
He basically plays an Indian, but on the other hand, that movie is about the funniest thing ever made. It is so hilariously funny. But every time you laugh, you're like, you kind of cry, and a little bit of you dies. Because he's just playing like... He's got his face painted, and he's playing an Indian character. But, you know, I mean, it's Peter Sellers. I mean, I don't know. Where does that leave us?
That's
sad,
where the party is.
Funny, yeah. Yeah, that's where the party is. Because the party's like...
So it's in the UK. We're in London.
Here's the thing about the 60s. Everything was built into the floor.
What?
Like this... Like, if you go back and watch... Help, right? Like, their beds are sunken right into the floor.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah, what the hell? I want shit sunken into my floor. And then you look at that movie, The Party, and like they have a pool, but it's this entire river and it's sunken into the floor and it runs throughout their living room. Which is, of course, why it's flooded with bubbles by the end. Maybe not the best idea. But very cool.
Everything is built into the
floor.
Yeah,
it is. I love it. I love it. There's actually like almost like stairs to get out of bed.
That's right, that scene where the four of them wake up and they're in like little
pods. So cool. Is that not a thing, or is it just like that movie? It's weird. Why didn't everybody have beds?
I feel like there are a lot of sci-fi movies from the 60s that also have that, and I wonder if it was like, this is what the future will attend. We'll just go down rather than...
underground.
It'll save us floor space somehow.
Well, plus in the event of a nuclear explosion, you'd be fine.
You just pull the blanket up.
Yeah, because you're underground level.
It's like a monster under your bed. Mushroom cloud monster. You just pull the blanket up.
Right? You can't be a monster under your bed if your bed is in the floor.
Gonna have to...
Kids.
I have poured concrete floors. That's not gonna happen. So I went to boarding school.
Yeah.
And we had dormitories.
I thought you went to public school.
I went to both.
You're confusing us.
I went to boarding school the last 2 years of high school.
Okay.
So and there.
Wow, that's fucked up. The last 2 years.
I was in high school for 5 years. I did an extra year. Not uncommon.
Huh.
Anyway, in the dormitories, there was this one room in the basement of the boys' dorms that had like some kid in the 80s had like pulled up the floor tiles. He was like right over the some of the like heating pipes and like basically built a hot tub.
Okay.
And would hide it. So like put the floor back every night and then just like roll it up. A lot of being in boarding school is learning subterfuge. Like you learn how to hide things and like how to lie really well.
Yeah.
That's part of the education, I think. But this was a thing that happened, and it was
there's subterfuge,
crazy.
And there's building a fucking hot tub without anyone knowing. How the hell do you do that?
You had a lot of free time on your hand. You live there,
yeah.
And you can't leave, and it's in the middle of nowhere.
Did the person ever, like, take a bath in it?
Sure. They would...
Just bring down... Everyone boil a kettle of hot water, bring them all down at midnight.
Well, that's the thing. There was one of the water... Like water pipes. That was how they discovered it. He could like tap into the water and just like fill it up from under the floor. Like he basically just built like,
wow.
You know, he was bored and
that's
high
impressive.
Probably.
Yeah.
And just pulled up the floor and there were the things and he went and built it. And there are pictures of this. Like it's like not just myth. There's like documented proof that this existed.
It's like the school mascot now.
Exactly.
The underground hot tub.
I would like to hunt him down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What magic have you performed in
your
adult
life?
Yeah,
see where he is now. Mm-hmm. You got any startups I can invest in or something?
Why was I talking about that? I don't know.
I have no idea.
There was a reason. Something
Bernie Taupin.
Bernie Taupin.
His photo in the Captain Fantastic is like him in a shower. Maybe not
it's
aware
steamy.
Someone was going to take the photo. I mean, it's just his head, but still.
He looks like, do you remember Moonlighting when that show was on television?
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sybil Shepherd, all of her shots were like through a frosted lens or whatever.
But like,
it was like in her contract. Right. But Bruce Willis was like, everything else was just clear. But she, every time it like cut to her,
if you could see a pore on my face, we're done. The show's over.
That's what Bernie Taupin looks like.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It just makes you wonder what they're covering, you know, like.
Where are you hiding, Bernie?
Huh. Okay, it's seriously weird. Look at this photo of Elton on the left here. He looks like John Lennon. He's got the, like, 60s, like, kind of goatee-ish thing.
Is that, or is that just a mustache that just keeps going?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, that's crazy. He's even got like the round spectacles of. I wonder what his story is. Just kidding, it's a joke. Look at this. There's booklets in here.
That's a comic. The other one. There's a comic on the back.
Look at this here. You can have that one. I'll look at the one called Scraps.
This illustration is amazing.
So,
Alan Aldridge.
This is out of control. There's like two books in this. Not one, but two. Which humorously reminds me of, I think the ultimate in 70s album Excess was, this is crazy.
This is a full color
some goddamn
book.
Scrapbook.